Great three-man Canadian band. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you, and Elliot Freeman joins us normally on Thursdays. Needed to push to today, and we're happy to oblige. Sportsnet, a regular on NHL Network, and now I guess a regular on ESPN. Elliot, great coverage, great work covering the draft last Friday and Saturday.
I think that's a one-time only thing, though. I don't think I'm going to be a regular contributor there.
You don't think so? After that fine work you put in?
I don't think so.
No, he's too expensive.
Yeah, you know what? I've just decided to retire undefeated. Yeah,
that's all right, let's start with some things we've been bringing up on the show this week.
Sure.
We've discussed with you so many times in the past about the flat cap, and you've told us, hey, it's not going to be flat for just now. It's going to be flat for a while. And so we anticipated maybe less years and maybe some guys, I don't want to say on the cheap, but coming in a little bit of a discount. That does not seem to be the case this week. Are you surprised?
A little bit. I mean, like, I thought the power forwards, with the exception of Landeskog, they got a bit less than they normally would have. You know, pre-pandemic, I wouldn't have imagined, you know, a guy like Brandon Saad coming in at 5x4.5. Or even a guy like Jaden Schwartz, he might have gotten more than 5x5.5. I think some of those guys got a bit less than I thought. The top end D did really well. The number one goalie, Grubauer, did really well. But a lot of other goalies got short-term deals. You know, Allmark did pretty well, but some of the other guys like Holtby and Freddie Anderson and Antti Raanta, they got short-term stuff. But what it said to me is if you're a top end D in this league right now, you're getting paid. Seth Jones, Dougie Hamilton,
Werenski.
Last night, Zach Werenski, and I think Darnell Nurse in Edmonton is coming. I think that one is potentially not far away from being done at a very big number. I think we're in a situation here where, if you're a D, you get paid. I think there's a couple of things here. Number one, the expansion team did it, and that created some new opportunity for money. And, you know, I think the other thing, guys, is that, some teams are wondering, we've got to get fans back into our buildings. You know, like, I think there's a little bit of concern, like, have people learned to live a little bit without sports? So there's that. And the other thing, too, is I look at what Buffalo and Arizona are doing. There hasn't really been a lot of long-term commitment to just stripping it down and tanking like we've seen in baseball or basketball. To me, what Buffalo and Arizona are doing is, you know, there's two really good prospects on the horizon, a kid by the name of Shane Wright, who plays in Ontario next year, and a kid by the name of Connor Bedard, who's in Western Canada the year after. And there's going to be other prospects, too, but these guys look like they're going to be franchise players. And I just think that Buffalo and Arizona have sent a message. We're going after one, if not both of them. And I wonder if we'll start to see more teams in the NHL do what we've seen in baseball and basketball.
Who did you like? Who did you like what they did sitting here on this Friday?
That's a good question. I got to tell you, there's a lot of people who don't like what Arizona did because they think it's bad for the sport. But, you know, for what they were trying to do, they sure did it. You know, look at all the picks they have now.
They did it.
You know, I got to tell you, Buffalo did better in their trades than I think a lot of people expected. I think it's emboldened them a little bit to hold on to Eichel as long as they can until they get what they want. I'm really curious. I like Colorado keeping Landeskog. I think he's a very important part of their team. And I know a lot of people looked at Makar and they said, you paid that, only getting 1 year of unrestricted free agency. Like, you know, he has a chance to be the best defenseman in the National Hockey League for years. I think he just had no choice but to get that done. I'll tell you this, I also liked what Dallas did. I think they They worked around a lot of the edges. I'm beginning to wonder if they're thinking that Ben Bishop might not play next year. I'm really curious about a lot of this stuff. I liked what Dallas did.
The Predators addressed Pekka Rinne retiring by bringing in David Rettich. What do you think of him as the backup goaltender to Saros?
Well, first of all, I would say that, you know, as a media person, you'll love Rettich. He's a very funny guy. He's hilarious. He's got a great sense of humor. He doesn't take himself very seriously. He's also a really good human being. He's got a brother on the spectrum, and he treats him like gold. He's very proud of him, and he talked a lot in Calgary about how much it meant to him to make sure that his brother was treated properly. And so I've got a lot of time for David Rettich as a person. As a goaltender, I think the last couple of years have been hard on him a bit. Calgary as a team, it didn't trend in the right direction the last 2 years, made a couple of coaching changes. I think they're trying to shore up the way they're playing. And, Rettich struggled. I don't think he was at his best, but I think there is a better goaltender there than we saw the last 2 years. I think he's a perfect guy. A lot of the stuff about Rene when he retired was about his personality, right? And what a great person he is and how he accepted the fact that Saros was starting to take the job and he didn't cause a problem. I think Rettich is similar in that way. I don't think he'll rock the boat. I think he'll understand that he's the backup to Saros and he won't cause you any problems. I just think that he's got to rediscover his form. I think there's a really good goalie there who lost his way the last year, and I do think that now that things are kind of coming back to normal, I think he'll find his form a little bit better.
I'm talking to Elliot Friedman. Elliot, just give us your thoughts, because we always kick this around, and I think we set the table with you on this for the last, really you could go back to the trade deadline, but Mikhail Granlund ends up coming back 4 years, $5 million a year. I think in a perfect world, they would have liked something a little smaller. But as you kind of pointed out, that people went ahead and spent some money there. So they paid a little bit more to keep him. What are your thoughts on that term and that price?
Well, I like Granlund a lot as a player. I think he's an important player for you guys. I think the thing that Nashville and David Poile have decided that is that they weren't going crazy on term this time around. I heard some of the negotiations that they were involved with, some of the players that they were looking at, they got beaten out because they didn't offer the same term. And I think that's the message that the Predators were sending. You've got a couple of deals there with term that, haven't worked out to this point with Johansson and with Duchesne. And I think you guys have learned your lesson and said we're going to be a lot more careful with that, particularly when it comes to guys we don't know. I mean, Grant. He's been a Predator for a while now. I think you guys were a lot more comfortable making that gamble with someone that you know as opposed to maybe someone you were bringing in. So I'm not surprised they went with that. I think you guys are going to be really fascinating to watch next year. It's obvious that David Poile wanted to set off a bit of a grenade in the organization. He felt it had gotten too complacent. It was time to try something new. I think what that says to me is they still feel that Michael Granlund can be part of the solution.
Elliot Friedman with us from Sportsnet. Elliot, is my math, if I'm looking at the restricted free agents they still have to sign and the cap space they have, and I look at the depth chart, I still see a spot for another move of a significant, maybe middle six forward, maybe not a top three guy, but somewhere in there. What do you think is out there? I'm looking at guys like Tomáš Tatar, maybe some guys have been rumored in trades. What do you think might be out there if you're looking for that guy?
Well, I got a text about Jake DeBrusk from you guys yesterday, so I figured I should actually do some preparation for this.
We appreciate that you took time for our show.
We had a listener, Elliot, that asked about him. if he would, you know, fit. And looking at the contract, I mean, it's not bad.
He's a young player, and it's kind of like, well, why would the Bruins not want him? But that's always part of the discussion here. So fill us in.
Well, you know what? Like, I would look into it. So here's my question: is, do you guys have a spot on the left wing?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so, without a doubt.
Jake DeBrusk last year, he's a left-hand shot, and he is a talented guy. I think at times him and the head coach, Bruce Cassidy, have butted heads there a bit. And sometimes it's hard to know, like, is the coach trying to motivate the player, or does the coach just no longer believe in the player? And I think the Bruins would look at it as, no, we're trying to motivate the player. I think the coach would look at it and say, we're trying to motivate the player. And I think the player kind of believes that maybe the organization doesn't believe in him anymore. It's like, you know, when a couple breaks up, right? Like, there's one side, there's the other side, and then there's the truth in the middle. So I think there's a bit of that going on between him there. So last year, DeBrusk, a left-hand shot, the Bruins were a bit heavy on that side, so he had to play his off wing. I don't think he liked it very much. Now, you know, the Bruins just got news today that David Krejci isn't coming back, and, we're going to figure out what they're going to do with their forward situation here. But I think what DeBrusk wants is, he wants an opportunity to play on his left wing. I think he is available, but I think, you know, the Bruins still think that he's a young guy who's got ability. They've been frustrated with each other before, but they're not just giving him away. It would be pricey, but if you've got a spot on the left wing, I think that's the kind of opportunity that DeBrusk would like.
Okay, so let's weigh that as opposed to maybe what's out there on Tampa. Is like Alex Killorn still? Are they still looking to dump money?
I don't think they want to move Killorn. I really don't think they do. They might, again, like, and also don't forget he's injured, right? So don't know what his situation is for the start of next season.
And what about Tomáš Tatar, who's sitting out there still waiting, I guess, to see that next wave?
Well, I heard, it's interesting, like, I thought Tatar would be someone that a team could get, like, a decent, relatively inexpensive gamble with, but I heard he was asking for some term. So, you know, I think Tatar's a guy, like, he'll get you there. He'll get you into the playoffs. There's no question about that. But it's twice in a row now that, you know, teams that have had him have kind of scratched him in the playoffs, right? So he's getting kind of a label, whether fairly or not, as more of a regular season player. Now, that's not a terrible thing, because it's still hard to make the playoffs in this league. But I just heard he's looking for some term. And I don't know if it's 4 years. I don't think that would be something like that. But maybe three. And you never know what happens here, guys. Maybe someone starts sweating as, you know, the days go by that you're not signed. Like last year, Mike Hoffman, he took a one-year deal because he couldn't find anything.
Well, Granlund and Hall, same thing with the Predators.
Montreal. Yeah, Granlund and Hall, that's right. So I think Tatar is looking for term, and we'll see if he sticks to that or he changes.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. You said earlier that, you know, the Predators could be very interesting to watch. I mean, with all the cap space that they have, we had David Poile earlier this week, and I asked him, you know, are you able to spend up to the cap if you want to? You know, can you use it all? And he said yes, he has that ability. But, you know, right now, and I understand they still got to sign Saros, they got some RFAs that they're working through, and then you got to address Forsberg and Ekholm in the future. But what is your sense of what the plan is for them right now? Of, they've gotten younger, but they're still kind of on that cusp of being a bubble playoff team.
Well, I look at it this way when it comes to them, guys. That I think Poile has said, like I said earlier, we took some long-term gambles, and they're not looking great right now. So I don't think he wanted to go down that road again. Like, the fact that you guys went 4 years with Granlund fits to me because he's a guy you know. And, you know, you didn't do it. Like, I'm sure that you guys kicked tires on guys like Schwartz and Saad and things like that. And, you know, like, it's like, I don't know that you guys were going 5 years for Saad. I don't know that you guys were going 5 years for Schwartz. I tend to think no, but I don't know that for sure. So I think what you're doing right now is you're sitting there and you're saying, let's see what happens. There are going to be some teams that are stuck. You know, there's going to be some teams that are going to still going to need to facilitate moves to get underneath the cap. And, you know, one of those teams, like, one of my questions is, where does Eichel end up? And is somebody going to need, like, for example, let's just say Eichel ends up in Vegas, for argument's sake. They're going to need to clear room. Like, you know, could you guys benefit from a team that trades for Eichel and needs to move something out? Like, that's one of the things. Or, you know, teams that are over the cap in the summer, when the regular season starts, they have to be under the cap. Are you guys going to benefit from that? Like the one thing, I mean, David Poyle's been around for so long. Like, everything that happens, he's seen it 50 times, right? So he knows how to play it, and he'll wait. And in this league right now, cap space is a weapon. And he'll weaponize it when he finds the right opportunity.
Another thing that he hasn't been a stranger to do is, you know, we just referenced it with Holla, and he's done it in the past, Mac Ribeiro, getting these guys that have been bought out or, you know, are kind of reclamation projects, one-year cheap deals.
Scott Hartnell would be another
example. Scott Hartnell is another one of those. But mm-hmm. James Neal is out there. That's another guy that they know. That and granted, he's not the same James Neal that he was when he left and was a part of that team that went to the Cup Final. But do you see that as a possibility down the road? And what do you think the market is right now for Neal?
I'm sure he's getting a lot of calls. Like, do you want to come here for a year or something like that? Do you want to come here and play at a lower number? I'm sure that's happening. And he'll have, like, if, like, you look at Corey Perry, who just signed in Tampa, when you're willing to do that, you can go just about anywhere. So I bet you James Neal, like, after what he just went through, he's, like, you know, James Neal never wanted to leave. But he got more money in Calgary, and he took the money. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I don't begrudge people doing that. But it sometimes means you get caught up in what happened to him. And so I guarantee to you that he's going to be looking at this and saying, you know, he's going to make $1.9 million on his buyout the next 4 years. So, you know, he's going to look at this and say, I'm going where I want to go, where I'm going to play in a role I like and where I want to be. And I'm sure he's got a few people calling him right now.
Elliot, last one. With Grubauer's deal, do you think that affects Saros at all?
I do. I mean, I think that he's probably a little bit higher. I think that Grubauer is probably a little bit higher than Saros in terms of history. He's got a bit more of a resume to him, but... You know, I like any goaltender is going to look at that and say, well, it's you just look at all the free agent goalies the last couple of years. Yes, you can, buddy. I'm sorry, my son wants to go in the house. You look at all the free agent goalies the last couple of years. Like, there's a lot of 6x6s and a lot of 7x5s and that kind of thing. A lot of those guys have had bigger resumes than he had. So I would say that Saros is not quite there, but he's near it. And the other thing, too, guys, and I read a book a few years ago called The Bald Truth. It's by an agent named David Falk, and he was the guy who represented Michael Jordan and a number of other basketball players at the primes of their careers. And it was just a great read because, you know, a lot of us look at negotiations as comparables, right? Like, here's Philip Grubauer. Where does UC Saros compare to Grubauer? Well, he doesn't have the same resume, so his number's got to be lower, right? And he talks about in that book about how that's only a terrible agent would do it that way. A good agent looks at it and says, well, that was his situation. This is your situation. And maybe UC Saros doesn't have the resume of a Philip Grubauer, but you know what? He might be the MVP of your team. So you have to deal with it from a separate way. And that's what I bet you they're going to say is they're going to say, look, maybe he doesn't have Saros, maybe he doesn't have Grubauer's resume or Markstrom's resume or Binnington's resume, but you know what? I look at your team, he's pretty freaking important. So that's the way we're going to look at it. I think you have to look at it as being in the ballpark. If Saros' agent is any good at all, then that's the way he'll argue it.
Good stuff as always. We're going to let you get to the fam. Thanks for your time as always, Elliot. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. This is going to be it for me this year. I'm taking August off, so I really enjoy it, guys. I love coming on your station, and it's so funny. I was talking about this with one of my buddies who doesn't work in the business. You know, he was saying to me, like, how many radio hits a week do you do now? And we were listing them, and I told him I do one in Nashville normally on Thursdays, and he laughs, and he goes, can you imagine when we were kids, like, we would have thought that you would be doing a weekly NHL radio hit in Nashville. We were kind of laughing about it. So I love coming on here. I love how big a part you guys have become in the league, and I hope you guys have a great rest of the summer.
Well, thank you very much, and we love it, too. Appreciate it, Elliot, as always.
All right, guys, take care.
Thanks.
That is Elliot Friedman. Enjoy your month of August. Sounds like they were loading up the car to go somewhere.
It did sound like they were ready to get on the move. And if you listen to his podcast, they've been talking about this. And really, it seems like every hockey insider is the same way. They want to put in those last couple days as everything kind of happens, the first couple days of free agency, and then they've got that calendar marked, man. It is, I am clocking out, and I am recharging the batteries.
Sure.
The summer is kind of short in Canada, right? So you want to take advantage of those days. So they're all the same, and Elliot is no exception. Jeff Merrick, his partner on the podcast, who we've had on the show many times, he says, we will be a rumor starting August the 1st.
And then when they come back, it becomes the 32 thoughts.
Yep. And we appreciate his accessibility. Yeah. We are really fortunate to be able to talk to, I think, the best in the business every week.
I was looking at Circa Sports, so a sports book in Vegas.
A sports book? Oh, come on, Darren.
What?
It's a doozy. It's a good one. It's a real good one.
It's a doozy. I know.
I'm going to be there in a month.
I'm bringing it up. They have put out their odds to win the Stanley Cup next year. There's three tiers. Okay? They've got three groups. So teams in groups. So let's start with tier one. Who is the favorite at +525 to win the cup?
So we've had some tier talk today, haven't we? Quarterbacks and running backs. And
Big 12 is shedding tears. So there you go.
Nice, Chase.
Nice.
Colorado Avalanche, I'm going to say, is in tier one.
Well, I'm asking who is in not only just in tier one, but who is
number one in tier one?
Okay. Yep. Is that your guess?
Yeah, I'll stay with them.
Okay. Chase?
Vegas.
So the Avs are one, Vegas is two. Okay. Isn't that interesting? The back-to-back Stanley Cup champs, not mentioned in that conversation. Colorado
They're
one.
Probably three.
Vegas two, Tampa three. Who is four?
This would still be in the first tier?
This I will tell you when tier one is complete.
Yeah, now it gets interesting.
Uh-huh. That's why I'm asking.
Still tier one. Who else?
I have to be honest. I am perplexed that this is why I'm bringing
Toronto?
Up some of this stuff. Toronto is five, so they're behind number four that you're still looking for.
Carolina?
We were just talking about them, by the way.
Boston?
Boston.
No way. Boston.
How about that?
Really?
Boston.
Huh. Would not have guessed. No. I would have thought all those teams we just mentioned would be the top of tier two. Carolina, Boston, maybe Florida.
Yeah.
There's 11 teams in tier one.
Can you put Toronto in tier one until they really do it?
Exactly.
But you just said there's 11 teams in tier one?
11 teams in the Hurricanes are the last team.
The teams at the top are in a different tier than these other teams.
But let me just tell you, the teams in front of the Hurricanes, help me understand this. The Edmonton Oilers?
I would put them in a tier of show me you can do it.
Right. Well, what have they done? The answer is nothing.
Okay, let me take a guess at one.
Okay. Like, there's one. Like, I do not understand. Like, help me understand.
Florida Panthers?
No. They're not
in tier one.
They're not in tier one. They're not as good as they were last year.
Minnesota are not in tier one.
Okay.
Okay.
Chicago?
No.
After everything?
Come on. What do you mean, no? Come on. Is that crazy? They're not a
in tier one. Tier one would be crazy for them.
Well, he said there's 11 teams in tier one. I mean, I'm trying to.
The Islanders in tier one?
Yeah.
They are not.
Really?
Man, I mean, how many times do they have to win playoff series?
Okay, I agree. The Islanders begin tier two.
Wow.
So is Chicago and Minnesota, they're in tier two?
They're in tier two.
How many teams are in tier two? Just so we can get a reference point here.
11.
There's
11 teams in tier two. The St. Louis Blues are in front of Edmonton.
That's
what?
In tier one.
Dumb.
In tier one. They're the ninth team on that list. What?
I'm not certain about that.
What am I missing?
I guess they're looking at a bounce back.
St. Louis Blues, tier one? How about no? That's a losing ticket. Bet on them.
Is Pittsburgh tier one?
Yes.
That's a loser, too.
I agree.
What year was this put out?
But I can I would buy into Pittsburgh in tier one before I bought into St. Louis.
Absolutely. 100%. The Philadelphia Flyers in tier one.
No.
Well, I can see them being sort of a sexy
pick. Wait a minute. They've been very active this offseason.
They revamped their defense completely.
But they weren't very good last year.
Right, but they have, if you look at their roster, it looks a whole lot better on paper.
It does. If there's a bounce back from Carter Hart, a little shake up, they could be good.
So we've named every team but one, and they are in the Predators division.
Well, we've already named.
Exactly. That's the problem.
They're going to put Winnipeg in there?
Oh.
No, they're not.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I see Winnipeg as a clear. I see a lot of tier twos.
Winnipeg's
in the
tier
central.
Two.
I see a lot of tier twos in the central. I would put the Predators in tier two. I don't know if you're going to tell me they're in there or not, but let's get the other tier one first.
The Dallas Stars.
They're still putting them in tier one. I think they're a clear cut tier two.
How about that? So the Predators division has, according to Circa Sports and their odds to win the Stanley Cup next year. Avalanche, Stars, and Blues, all in tier one.
I think there's a pretty big gap between Colorado and those other two teams.
I agree. And by the way, St. Louis has no business.
No. I'd put the Wild over St. Louis.
I would put Winnipeg and Minnesota over. I just would. I don't agree with that at all. So that's tier one. Tier two, I already told you, the Islanders begin tier two. I think you guys mentioned the Wild. They're in there. The Jets are in there as well. Did I say anything about the Blackhawks?
Yeah, you said they were in tier two.
They're in tier two as well.
They're in tier two?
Yes. Okay. At the bottom. They're second to last.
So you're telling me the Predators are not in tier two?
Well, I haven't named all the teams.
He hadn't gotten that far. We haven't guessed them. Are the Predators in tier two? Willie wants to know.
I mean, honestly, I hope that it'd be good motivation if they're not.
They are not. They're in tier three. Okay. They are the second team in tier three behind the Knuckleheads.
So Vancouver and
Nashville begin tier three.
Let me ask you a question.
So they're buying that Chicago has leapfrogged Nashville. Yes. Nashville beat Chicago 7 out of 8. They're saying that these moves that Chicago made leapfrog them into a totally different tier than the Predators?
Their odds are cut in half compared to the Predators are plus 11,000. Chicago is plus 5,200.
I dropped $5 on that.
Okay.
How many teams left in tier two that we haven't named?
I don't know. There's 11 teams in tier two, so I don't know. You've named about half of them.
Would the Seattle Kraken be one of those tier
two? The Seattle Kraken are in tier two.
Okay. Thought so.
All right.
So I'll just give it to you. The Islanders, I mentioned. Then the Florida Panthers, then the New York Rangers. How about that?
They'll be a sexy
Rangers
pick.
Rangers are interesting.
Washington Capitals, Minnesota Wild, Flames.
Come on.
Huh?
Huh?
I love that.
This one's another one. I think they're going the wrong direction. Canadiens. The Habs after the Flames. I don't know, man.
Wow.
I don't know. Jets, Kraken, Blackhawks, and Los Angeles Kings.
The Kings?
Yep. Wow. Yep.
Who is that?
That rounds out that. Tier two.
Okay, all right.
Tier three begins with the Knuckleheads and the Preds, followed by the Devils, the Sharks, the Red Wings, the Blue Jackets. How about that? Senators, Ducks, Yotes, and, of course, bringing up the rear
the
by
Sabres.
A long shot.
The
plus 150,000, the Buffalo Sabres.
I'm going to tell you, one team low on that tier three to watch out for is Ottawa. They've reloaded. If you're going to put the Kings in tier two,
they're plus 30,000.
I don't really understand why you would have Ottawa that far below the Kings. The Ottawa has done the same kind of things as the Kings to reload.
Real quick, the Predators.
By the way, their odds compared to Los Angeles are Los Angeles is plus 5,500. Senators are plus 30,000.
Preds just announced they have re-signed Tanner Jeannot to a two-year, $1.6 million contract.
Very
so
economical.
So 800 per?
Yes. The breakdown.
750 and then 850.
Yep.
Okay.
So very similar to Mr. Olivier.
Yep.
Yep. So I thought you guys would enjoy that. I think there's some major question marks in there. That's good stuff.
I do think there will be a lot of doubters from the outside on the Predators as we sit here today. Now, I still think, as we talked about with Elliot, there's another move to be made. But I don't know if it'll change what you just read, Darren, a whole lot. I think that's going to be a prove it.
I look forward to sitting in the Circa again, drinking my 32-ounce drink. So that'll be good.
Come back. Final hour next.